This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Arel, my first Bitcoin, El Salvador.
You're currently living in the beach area of La Libertad in El Salvador. Does it feel you've been saved and have complete freedom now?
No.
Kombucha is a fermented tea beverage that has been consumed for thousands of years. Its origins can be traced back to ancient China and later spread to other parts of Asia, Russia, and Europe. The alcohol content of kombucha is usually quite low, typically ranging from 0.5% to 3% by volume. However, homemade or poorly regulated commercial kombucha may occasionally have higher alcohol levels. Do you brew your own kombucha?
No.
Everyone new to Bitcoin should start with reading the Fiat Standard and the Bitcoin Standard by Saifedean Ammous.
No.
Do you prefer a Dutch pancake over a pupusa?
Dutch pancake.
John Lennon was born on October 9th, 1940 in Liverpool, England. He grew up in a working-class family and developed a passion for music from a young age. Lennon is best known as a member of the legendary British rock band The Beatles. Lennon was not only known for his musical talent, but also for his activism and outspoken views on social and political issues. He became a prominent figure in the peace movement and was a vocal advocate for non-violence and world peace. Do you like his activism more than his music?
Yes.
Do you have a Bitcoin diploma?
No.
Joseph Campbell is a renowned scholar and thinker who made significant contributions to the study of mythology and the understanding of the human journey. He passed away in 1987, but if he was still alive, do you think he would have become a Bitcoiner?
Yes.
V for Vendetta is a 2005 dystopian thriller film directed by James McTiernan and produced by the Makowskis. Do you know the domino scene where V tips over black and red dominoes to form a giant letter V involving 222,000 dominoes and took four professional domino assemblers 200 hours to set it up?
No.
I speak more than five languages.
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 80 of Connect the World. This show is made possible by our friends from BL3P. Steph, Arel, nice to have you here. If
hey
everybody else also likes our mission and want to help out, then please support us on Twitter, subscribe at YouTube, and if you have any question at all, of course, go to our Telegram group where you can chat with us. And of course, a donation is always welcome.
Conecta el mundo.
Welcome, Arel.
Welcome, Arel.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here from the sunny south.
Of El Salvador.
Yeah, of El Salvador, yeah. And I see the palm trees.
You don't speak more than five languages, but I'm curious, are more than four?
I would say more than two.
Ah, okay.
More than two.
Okay. Because, yeah, I think the people
I can,
at home...
I can say nine and Schweinhund, of course, and those kinds of things. But it doesn't mean me being a German speaker. So
No.
I would say three languages.
You're totally right, man. But
it's also interesting if it's necessary, right? Because, yeah, perhaps...
Especially with AI coming. In the future.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking about doing a podcast without talking. So only, I don't know,
only
showing
visuals.
Things or something. Yeah, only
but
visuals.
But then it isn't a podcast anymore, right?
No, that's right. Yeah, because no one can listen. But then you have AI translating it and And then we laugh about the things that are wrong. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, now it crushes our own creativity and how we don't feel human anymore. Well, it's a topic.
Yeah, that's a real topic. It's interesting, I guess, also from an art standpoint. Yeah. But so you don't have a Bitcoin diploma?
Not myself.
Right?
No.
Okay.
But how come? Because you work for my first Bitcoin, or you contribute to the project of my Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, I would say like it's not on purpose, but from the beginning, I'm not a Spanish. I can't speak Spanish that well, and when I joined the project, everything was in Spanish back then. Like there was no English curriculum or English courses or anything. And if they were, I would of course have taken them to understand better the process of our educational material and services, of course. But that was not the case, and so I don't know.
But maybe in the near future, because. Is it on your agenda to maybe translate your courses into Dutch, because you are a Dutchie?
Yes. Well, that already happens at this moment.
Okay.
And what you guys do have to know, like I've read every single letter in our education materials and helped develop them, of course. So in that process, you learn by teaching, of course, right?
Sure.
So I was like, I know the material, and to translate it in Dutch, well, I have seen a couple of versions already in Dutch, and to help make them even better, I think that's a good thing to do. But since every case on the globe is different, that's what we truly learned over the course of the years. We first need to speak with, say, Dutch locals to truly understand what kind of education is needed for them before we start translating and just throwing it into like the hands of children and people.
Because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't make sense to just copy paste from the things you now have in El Salvador, right? Because the circumstances are totally different.
Yeah, local needs. So Bitcoin education is best suited to be different from region to region, right?
Yeah, to be honest, like it is universal. Like the basic template of the curriculum, it's how it is. It's like it's ready to scale for the masses. But at the same time, like if we talk with one of our notes in or chapters or my first Bitcoins in Costa Rica, they have a different case. And like in Argentina, as an example, somebody told us, well, you didn't talk about stable coins and Tether. Well, yeah, it's Bitcoin only, of course. Yeah, but the Argentinian people, they need to use Tether to adopt Bitcoin. Like it's the process works different within their psychology here. Mm-hmm. So long story short, every case is different.
Yeah,
not that easy, but just translating.
And we ask you: does it feel you've been saved and have complete freedom now? And it's just it's like a small
guys. I have that peace of mind. I love this country, and I can do every day what I want without a government interfering with my life and all those kinds of things. But I am happy when the entire human race is freed and empowered, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I, instead of just enjoying retirement, like I'm doing a job. So until that day comes in which like I can see that also a lot of other people have that same feeling, I will not feel free.
Okay. So
I think we can compare it with a missionary, right? It's you have a mission and you want to help to achieve that mission for everybody else.
True.
Yeah.
But we don't see ourselves as the one. Like we are just one part of this beautiful ecosystem of all kinds of like pioneers, talented, brilliant individuals that share a vision for a better world in the future. And we just try. I would emphasize on try. We try to do our absolute best to provide the right way of education within that mission. But like the infrastructure, you should talk to Nor from Blink Bitcoin Beach Wallet. Like, it's like equal as important as education. So we're all in this together.
Absolutely, should go hand in hand. Of course, yeah. Hey, and I asked everybody new to Bitcoin should read the fiat standard and Bitcoin standard. You said no. Yeah. Are there any other materials or books or something? Or do you think someone new to Bitcoin should do something completely different?
You guys have to know I love it. And I love this material. But I have a psychology background. So I'm like fascinated by the human mind. And I know that every human being learns in a very different way. So to say like, well, just throw the Bitcoin standard and the fiat standard in the hands of everybody. Well, we already tried it at Christmas and not everybody was reading that book, right? we already know that answer. Like, you need to meet people where they are. And I find that very difficult because I'm a very impatient guy. Mm-hmm. And I have my own troubles, of course. And like, I have a mission. I want to do things. But there are algorithms and rules within this world. How Joseph Campbell says that, like, in human life, things just work in a way. And you need to understand that way instead of, like, trying to change the entire rules of everything. Because then you're not better than Klaus Schwab or Mark Rutte, all those kinds of fellas, right? It's you need to meet people where they are. So would I advise another book? Jeff Booth? Ooh. Read his material. It just depends on the person, right? Like, I like the philosophies of Robert Breedlove and his guests. But start with the why. That's for me, it's the most important thing is start with why. Why is Bitcoin important for the future of the collective? And why is it important for you as an individual? I'm sure if you dig down into that rabbit hole, you will become a Bitcoiner, because all paths lead to Bitcoin. You need to.
Yeah. Well, safety. And Steph and I also talked with Max DeMarco. He is a Bitcoin filmmaker. And I think to have one question or two questions in mind and then go into the world and try to find the answer to a question, that's also more open to a lot of more people that perhaps are anxious about Bitcoin. Yeah. That they can understand it better to see what it can achieve in some places in the world. Well, perhaps it's different like that. So multiple disciplines, not only books, but true. Also some other things.
He also beautiful brain, Max DeMarco. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Great guy.
Seriously. Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's, because we didn't even enter the 21 minutes yet.
No, that's right.
We prepared all kinds of questions for you, Arel, about me primary Bitcoin or my first Bitcoin. But it has to be in the 21 minutes. So if you are ready, Arel and Edward, of course, we would really love to.
Oh, man, you asked me. I'm a guy for a 4-hour podcast. So, like, you need to lead me, right?
This will be a challenge.
Yeah, because this is very digestible, so it's very short. But let's get to
give
the
it
point.
A try.
Okay. Yeah,
guys,
let's do it.
Соединим этот мир.
All right. Well. We've said it before also, my first Bitcoin makes unbiased and free Bitcoin education possible in El Salvador. Please elaborate, why is it so important to have unbiased and free Bitcoin education anywhere in the world?
Well, the from my perspective, the collective goal is to get to a hyper-Bitcoinized world, right? We want mass adoption. This technology, because we know it will do beautiful things to humanity. Like, humanity afterwards will explore and do things without interference from corrupt people that only care about themselves. But when we dive in history, people don't adopt or do anything if there's not an early adopter and early innovator phase. Like, it just works like that. And that early adopter and early innovator phase always gets ignited by education. If people don't understand something, if people don't understand why it's good for you to take a walk once a day, as an example, they will never take a walk once a day because they'd rather watch a show on Netflix, as an example. But you have like 1,000 examples, but the information, why is it important that it's unbiased and free, as an example? I would rather take a dive into unbiased. and impartial and independent. It's like there is so many information out of there. And people get scammed, guys. Like, you guys are nerds and you don't get scammed by shitcoinery and all kinds of things. But you should see what happens with people. And they need factual information. They need quality. And they need a way in which they can come to their own conclusions instead of we stuffing in like, okay, this is the fiat system and those are motherfuckers. And I'm sorry for my language, but...
indeed. It's so...
But it's very important to give them the facts and to emphasize on why it's important for them as an individual and how it works and to bring it in a very easy, impartial, independent way, like not biased, not influenced by anybody. And we don't have a business model as an example. We just try to do work that benefits humanity. And again, we try to, guys. We do our best. And we want to learn from history. There are beautiful pioneers in history that failed. John F. Kennedy, like Gandhi, Jesus Christ is an example. Those are all people that tried to, from their vision, change the world. But you need to learn where they were mistaken. You need to learn from the mentors to do it in a different way and making it unbiased and in a decentralized fashion so that there's no central point of authority, no central point of failure, and no point of return, of course. That's very important. That sounds brilliant, but it's all copy-paste from the Bitcoin ethos, of course. We want to learn from what Satoshi did, of course.
With my first Bitcoin, you help address financial inclusion in developing countries through the use of education. What are the differences that you now notice in people who you have helped through Bitcoin education?
Well, the people that get it get so bizarre, inspired, and empowered. So that they, how do you say it? Like when you reach a person with the right kind of approach and the right kind of information, right way of education, what we see is like they transform their lives. And that's our mission. Like the founder started this because he believes that impartial, independent community, that Bitcoin education empowers the individual, especially when you scale that to the masses. So what do we see is with people is like after they graduate or understand this, they start integrating Bitcoin with their lives. They do something with it that suits them personally. Some become teachers, some offer themselves to Bitcoin jobs. They start looking to the world in a very different way. And they finally, and that's the most beautiful thing, they finally see opportunities because they didn't have those opportunities here that we had. But they have now, like they have a way in which they, by design, by code, know that it is incorruptible. Like this is an industry, you want to be a part of it. Like, this is good and for you and for the humanity.
And do you also think this perhaps will give some kind of head start for these particular places in the world, like Costa Rica, you've said it before, El Salvador also, of course. Then compare it to the US and Europe. Do you think US and Europe will lack something or stay behind with this innovation? Because if we teach everybody else Bitcoin, then what will happen to the rest? Or will it follow?
Irony,
or is it not necessary?
It depends on the leaders, of course. But it's so ironic. Like developing countries.
It is.
Who are hurt most by corruption and the history of the International Monetary Fund, all those corrupt institutions. Like I like to speak freely about those institutions. I don't like them at all. But these countries are so hurt. And as an example, let's take El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that fiat system is going to collapse. So we don't need to take a deep dive into that subject because there are brilliant people that can like tell you why. This entire economy is going to collapse. The world's going to collapse and there will be two new worlds. Like that's the start of it. Like that CBDC credit, social credit, corrupt system in which like the Netherlands and the States, they have a chance to enter that. Like we're not sure how the future unfolds, but that will happen. Yeah. El Salvador, on the other hand, is like embraced Bitcoin. And the economy is already, this gross domestic product has it's going up in 2 digits a year. It's crazy. It's not a bull market, guys. It is terror at this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But what? Long story short, what's the world going to do? Do you guys think when a once corrupt and very uninteresting and very dangerous country with no opportunities, no future, suddenly improves literally on every important aspect of a good functioning society? What will happen? Well, there will be leaders in the world that will say, like, okay, they're doing something good. We need to understand what they're doing and we need to do it in our way also. And there will be like suckers, laggards, shitcoiners.
Are there any particular success stories or cases or case studies that you could share with us that which you have guided from your role within My First Bitcoin?
Oh, multiple, man. But the most beautiful I want to share is like a guy named Napoleon, our country manager, our community manager, and a brilliant teacher. He worked at a bank a couple of years ago. And he was fired from his job. So he started working at Uber, just delivering. He has like two sons. Life is not that easy for somebody like that. So one day on Uber, he wanted to go home and call it out for the day. But then he had an intuitive feeling like, no, I need to just do one. And he just didn't know why. In that one, he met John, our founder and president, and other Bitcoiners, which were talking about Bitcoin and the new law, and were like researching this country, looking for ways in which they can contribute, etc. And that moment changed his life because John orange-pilled Napo in a very short time. And from that moment, he stopped everything. He went berserk, all in, focused on My First Bitcoin, with a mission to give to get into a situation in the future in which like there's 100% adoption and these people is finally free and empowered instead of looked down on as they feel from like nobody knew El Salvador before Bitcoin, of course, and they feel that and they want to make a difference, a positive impact on their people. And the amount of passion that bit impartial independent community that Bitcoin education did with Napo is one of those great say social proof or example stories of what happens when you tell the story
to when the you right, orange pill the right, right way.
yeah, indeed.
And John can, because he's like a very calm guy.
And do you also help to ensure in some way the accessibility and ease of use of Bitcoin and Lightning for users in regions with less stable internet connection? Because I could reckon that would be a problem, maybe with contacts with local government or something. Is there something that
we want to stay impartial and independent at all times? Those are core values, our culture, our ethos. So we don't really want to be influenced by a government, of course. Never.
Okay, yeah.
But we have a project at La Piraya. It's an island here in El Salvador, in the middle southern side of El Salvador. We're with a collaboration with Bitcoin Beach and Mike Peterson. We're starting a circular economy there. People don't have internet, so of course we bring in the infrastructure. We brought in Musk's Starlink. Because that was the most easy option for us, the best option after our decision-making process to help the people there get internet. So, of course, we try to help people with the right infrastructure if that's needed. We are not biased.
Awesome.
Like, education is not everything. Like, we miss a lot of sports. And so that's why I'm so happy and excited to talk with you guys. Because you guys love the infrastructure, of course, and we could learn from you.
Yeah, of course.
So don't ask
all
me those
technical
questions,
possibilities.
Because I will throw them back.
Okay, and Delia Platt, I don't know if I pronounced it right, but she is the head of curriculum for my first Bitcoin. She stated that your new curriculum is to revolutionize how people learn about Bitcoin, making it accessible and engaging for everyone. Can you elaborate on some of the biggest changes compared to the earlier curriculum?
Well, you bring up a person now. Dalia Platt is like the brilliant mind and visionary behind our educational material and efforts. What we do and how it works, she's responsible for that, and a very humble lady. But to answer your question, I think it's not about the curriculum. That's how she would answer this question. It's not about the curriculum. And yes, we're revolutionizing the curriculum, but the real thing that we're revolutionizing is our way of teaching. And it's about finding the right balance between interaction with students and having a template and a curriculum that works in a universal way and is scalable for the masses. So it's about that. So what we do is we're trying to create an example in El Salvador in how we teach. And that's very revolutionizing. And it works in some kind of way. We document all those steps. How do we do that? How do we do that exactly? How do we, say, in a very good way, penetrate the minds of people with good stuff and help them, empower them through our way of education? And we're documenting that. And what's truly revolutionizing is the way we want to make that open source and to help the international community.
Yeah.
Like, these were all our past mistakes. These are the successful things that work for us. Please try to teach to the people in this way. And the ones that throw AI over it, a personalized, humankind-like of type of teacher that can, after we've collected all the data, can create something universal and is adaptable to every specific human on this planet, that's when you truly change the world. And we can't do that, yeah, but we can with collaboration.
Of course. Yeah, because he's suggesting broader geographical reach and a strategy for expanding the program beyond El Salvador, of course, and particularly for non-Spanish speaking regions. Do you have a region in mind where you would like to test this? Or maybe you have it already?
Yeah, well, we have a complete strategy for this issue, and the strategy is called the Decentralized Education Network. That sounds fancy, but it's not about the sound. It's about like everywhere in the world, people reach out to us. Like, yo, guys, I see what you guys are trying to do in El Salvador, and I want to help my community or my region or my country do the same. So we empower them through open sourcing all our materials to learn from us, right? Not we're not telling people what to do, but we can share what worked for us and what didn't work for us, and like an entire toolkit of how does my first Bitcoin works, completely open source, completely, like everything. You can literally replicate it everywhere and do it better than us, and we hope you will. And like, That network that's expanding now very rapidly, and we focus on quality, try to focus on quality instead of quantity, but we try to empower them because we try to do things ourselves in the past years, also internationally. But in the process of thinking, we discovered we can never be as good as somebody in South Korea. We have people in South Korea. We can never be as good as them in how to educate their country and their people, because we truly don't understand the case there. And if you think you do, you're like, you need some spiritual lessons. Like, you don't understand the entire world, and we need to collaborate. So it happens already. So people reach out to us, we empower them, and they do it in their own way. Like, run, Forrest, run. That's the thing.
That's an organic way. So I think that's That works.
And the student workbook includes diverse topics ranging from what is money to navigating scarcity in a growing economy. How do you approach the challenge of simplifying complex economic concepts for high school students? Because I can imagine that it's very hard to get done sometimes.
Yeah, it's a very good question. This is a difficult one, and what we've learned, and that's like sometimes it's difficult to just understand that that's a principle or an algorithm of how the world works, and every human being is different. So how do you educate people with complicated things?
Yeah, because how old are the students?
From 15 to 65. Like it's,
and they all have their own background, so that also mangles with their experience. So
yeah, it's very personal. Yeah. It's about like meeting the person where they are. And how can you meet the person where they are? Well, by being a brilliant teacher and by going, like having interaction. Like, who cares about the evolution of money? No, we care, of course, but not when we were five, as an example. It started somewhere. So you need to find that point. And we have those teachers that find those points. Like, why does a person like this care about this subject? And then you go into the interaction. And the most beautiful thing is those are very truly revolutionizing, are the activity ideas of Dahlia. Because Dahlia, she has specific activities, and I will not tell them here because you need to speak with her. She can nobody can explain them like her. Talk to her. And but the way she explains inflation, guys, is like a 2-3 minute activity in which everybody will get it. And you'll forget about all the difficult things that you understand about Saverdien's books, but make you feel intellectual and intelligent when you speak on the Christmas table about the subject, but nobody really understands that. And if you want to go to the masses, you need a new approach. But
but that's interesting, Dahlia. Because I think a lot of more people, not only there, but also in the fiat world, need to understand that more and find that difficult. So the understanding, or to make people understand it, financial education is very important. Yeah. I was thinking, you said it before, but what additional measures beyond Bitcoin education need to be implemented to effectively address the issue of high unbanked population in certain regions of the world? Because education is only one thing, of course.
Yeah. We talked about this. Infrastructure.
Yeah.
Infrastructure.
So that's the main...
It's that beautiful lightning network as an example, that those rings of fires that you guys talk about. Yeah. We have our CTO loves this. So you should talk with him about
Are you in a ring of fire?
Now he tries to build those things, but he can never do that like you guys, of course. But it's the infrastructure. We need ease of use tools. We need to be responsible over our own lives to navigate this future. So a self-custodial wallet is very important. But brother, take a walk inside into humanity and you will see that ease of use, without ease of use, you will never get to that adoption. So there's a woman that I truly like, that's Nora from Blink. And she has a custodial wallet. But she has a big reason why. Because she cares about the adoption and bringing people on board for their first Bitcoin experience. And later on, we get smarter. Like, guys, we started at exchanges. Like, what an inspiring story. No.
That's absolutely right.
That's the thing. And maybe we feel ashamed by it.
Yeah, but I think it goes like hand in hand, because the innovation wasn't that far to have these possibilities. So these possibilities would never have been here if not for that first on-chain layer with all the other
brilliant, right? Like
things attached.
Like I know that you guys have a time limit, but Mahatma Gandhi said like first they love, then they ignore, then they fight you, and then you win, right? They laughed about Bitcoin back in the old days, and they ignored it for too long, and they made it so robust and resilient. Like, if you finally get this, Like, it's, you feel finally we have that sword and that shield and nobody can stop us, right? And like, the props are going to those guys, like, they did the job, and that's the infrastructure we need to keep building on in the future.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Cypherpunks, they want to, well, the time's ticking. Let it go.
Well, let me ask you one more question, because it's also an important one, I guess. The success of my first Bitcoin, but I think Bitcoin education in general, is evident from the increase in the number of students and students that educated this year compared to the previous one. How do you intend to scale your operations to accommodate a potentially much larger number of students in the future, which will happen, of course?
Oh, thank you for this beautiful question.
Like, you can take your time in finishing it.
We don't want to focus on quantity. Is we don't want to focus ourselves on, say, saving the world from what could have happened in the future to humanity. We cannot. So what do? We focus on quality, making sure that we document the most best way of orange pilling and onboarding people, and to make sure that we empower, that's our strategy. So your how question, this is the answer, empower the entire globe and everybody within this industry that wants to do this, that wants to orange pill in a healthy way, like, we want to empower them and they will get to the number.
Perfect.
Awesome answer. Yeah, interesting. Focus on quality. Well, that's very important.
Otherwise, you will scale problems. Nobody wants to scale problems.
No.
That's correct.
Connect the word.
Hey, Steph, the lightning bingo.
Yeah,
come
lightning
on.
Bingo, man. Yeah, I thought, well, normally you say something like, oh, we have a lot of more questions.
Sorry. Arel, no, but that's right. But Arel knows this. You,
that's right.
You know that we have a lot of lightning questions. I have here a really great one, and I want the answer, but
Arel has to
time.
Choose himself. Arel, we prepared three questions for you, but you may only choose one. So I hope you pick the one that Edward's talking about. I don't know which one he's talking about.
So.
I see three names, and they're all... more interesting. So you can choose from Herman Vivier from Bitcoin Akasi, Arnold Hubach. He's a Bitcoin nomad. He works for Bitcoin Magazine.
I know him.
Or
you know him.
Mike
Jarmus,
and Mike is from Lightning Ventures. Which one you have asked?
I've never heard about that Mike, so I would love to hear this.
Well, let's do it.
All right. Yeah, the other ones, you would never hear them.
All right. Well, this is Mike Jarmus, the Muzz Man from Lightning Ventures. And my question is this. How are you going to fundraise for your company?
How am I going to fundraise for my company? I don't have a company. We are a nonprofit. But we do raise funds, and we have a very intelligent guy that's running the department. So I would love to put him here, but I'm going to try to answer the question and how we would answer this question. And it's like, we only want to work and to do business with the people that believe what we believe, that see what we see, that feel what we feel, and that think what we think, and that have like a skill, that are in here for the right reasons, that want to support us. Because they care about the future of humanity. We don't care about like some 20K or 100K from some big shot that wants to put his stamp on our diploma, because we are impartial and independent and we need to stay true to our values and to ourselves. So how would we raise funds? I would not say a strategy. I would say just being human and have conversations with people. It's not that difficult to raise funds when you just have a great conversation with a great individual that has a lot of money and a good heart, but that doesn't have the energy anymore to create things themselves. So we can get that money and we can give some credits, of course, and we can do great things with it. But one of the most important lessons that we've learned is not enough to have like a beautiful story as what I'm trying to do, what's coming out of the mouth. You need to back it up. You need to have like, we have like a virtual data room with all kinds of metrics and sheets. And it's like the blockchain, but MPB's blockchain. Like it's a way to check. It's a way to see everything and to verify for yourself that you're not giving your money to some kind of an idiot that doesn't know what to do, but or has the right wrong intentions. That's most important. No, you're like, you back it up and you work with the right people and you have human conversations with demands.
Well, and a couple of months ago, we saw the question that Jack Dorsey picked up, and he also helped out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That was really nice that that protocol was new, and there was a conversation. He checked it out, and then it instantly worked. So
this is such a beautiful industry, guys.
The vibe.
That's the thing. Really, I know it's a Monday truly evening for you guys, but I love talking to you guys. And We're in this together, and we're going to create it. So forget about asking me if I believe about hyper Bitcoinization. I know you guys have the question.
I have the question there.
We're going to look back in 10, 15 years, and we're going to enjoy a sound money and free economy and free world that's irreversible.
Like, awesome.
Yeah, that's because of Jack Dorsey and everybody.
Great.
Thanks again, Arel. Awesome.
Connetti il mondo.
Yeah, well, thanks for the inspiring talk, Arel.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And, as always, guys.
Yeah, love what you are doing, love what you guys are doing there. Where can people follow you? You maybe have a Twitter account?
I care about my privacy, my security, and I truly don't care a lot about my personal accounts. So just follow my first Bitcoin on Twitter and our GitHub.
Awesome. That's enough. Thanks.
Yep. My first Bitcoin, it is. Well, thanks for listening to everybody else, and thanks for participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. RL said it before. Rings of Fire, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Enter it. And of course, thanks to everyone helping out to connect the world with us together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate. And subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Lagon, Arel.
Buenas tardes.
Ciao, guys. Bye-bye.
Ciao.